Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, friends. Happy Monday. More importantly, happy Packers game day. Welcome into an all new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for being here on this Packers game day. We've got a lot to go over, a lot to discuss. There are 46 games left in the 2024-2025 season. That's regular season, playoffs, Super Bowl. That's everything all together. 46 games left. Monday Night Football, 16 next week, 16 the following week, and then you get into Wild Card, Divisional, Championship, and Super Bowl. 46 total games remaining. If everything goes according to plan, Green Bay will be playing in 7 of those 46 games. And fingers crossed, that's exactly what happens. But we get one tonight on Monday Night Football. Packers Saints should be a fun one. Let's start by taking a look at what happened a little bit on Sunday, at least in regards to the Packers playoff picture. The Packers win, of course, and they are in against the Saints. If they win this game or even tie this game, they're in the playoffs. They did not get any help that they needed. They needed a Giants win over the Falcons. That did not happen. And then they needed either the Seahawks or the Rams to lose. The Seahawks did lose to the Vikings. The Rams did not lose, but they didn't get everything that they needed. So as of right now, as I'm recording this, as you're probably listening to this, the Packers are still not officially in the playoffs. Here, in case you're wondering, I believe, I don't have this via the NFL, but I went through and did a bunch of different little simulations and used the playoff machine. I believe this is the only way in which the Packers do not make the playoffs. It's basically a 7-team parlay that has to go in the exact awful, terrible direction in order for Green Bay to not get in. This is it. The Packers need to lose to the Saints. The Packers need to lose to the Vikings. The Packers need to lose to the Bears. The Falcons need to beat the Commanders. The Falcons need to beat the Panthers. The Buccaneers need to beat the Panthers. And the Buccaneers need to beat the Saints. That is your 7-game parlay that needs to go 0-for-7 from a Packers standpoint in order for the Packers not to make the playoffs. They just need anything else to go any other way despite those, or besides those 7 things that I just said. So if the Packers beat the Saints, if they beat the Vikings, if they beat the Bears, if the Commanders beat the Falcons, if the Panthers beat the Falcons, if the Panthers beat the Bucks, or if the Saints beat the Bucks, any of those things happen and Green Bay should, as far as I can tell, be in the playoffs no matter what. So as long as you don't have a streak of 7 games of craziness, it should be all good for Green Bay. But you know what would be nice? If Green Bay could just take care of business against the Saints on Monday Night Football, and we don't even have to discuss the possibilities of not potentially getting in. But either way, Green Bay is a greater than 99% chance to make the playoffs still for the New York Times playoff simulator. And even if they lose all 3 of their games, so even if Packers lose the Saints, Packers lose the Vikings, Packers lose to the Bears, the New York Times has them at a 90% chance to make the playoffs, meaning they believe either the Commanders will beat the Falcons, the Panthers will beat the Falcons, the Panthers will beat the Bucks, or the Saints will beat the Bucks. That's what the New York Times simulator is betting on. But either way, again, you know, it'd be nice if Green Bay just took care of business on Monday Night Football, beat the Saints, and we don't have to discuss any of that. Now, one thing we did learn this past or yesterday on Sunday is that the Packers cannot win the division. That we knew they weren't going to win the division. That was a foregone conclusion. Now it's just a conclusion. Like we now know it to be a fact. The Lions would have needed to lose. That did not happen. They beat the Bears easily as expected. And that's it. And the Packers can no longer win the division. They can still get the 5 seed. They can still get the 6 seed. They can still get the 7 seed. Or as we mentioned, theoretically, they could still not make the playoffs. But in all likelihood, they will be the 5, the 6, the 7. Basically what we went into talking about last week, this week. And now it's still the exact same scenario where they're greater than a 99% chance and they can get the 5, the 6, or the 7. Your current NFC playoffs standings or seeding, however you want to look at it. Lions are the 1. Eagles are the 2. Rams are the 3. Falcons jump into the 4. Vikings are the 5, Packers are the 6, and Commanders are the 7. So you would have Commanders at Eagles, Packers at Rams, and then Vikings at Falcons as your opening round of games for the NFC playoffs, with the Lions currently having a bye, but 2 weeks left to potentially change a lot of that. The Bucs and the Seahawks are the only two other teams that are alive. There are only 9 teams in the NFC that are still alive. The 7 that we mentioned: Lions, Eagles, Rams, Falcons, Vikings, Packers, and Commanders. And then again, the Buccaneers and the Seahawks both alive at 8-7. Everyone else is eliminated. Meanwhile, as we look ahead to these next couple weeks for the Packers currently 14-point favorites against the Saints tonight on Monday Night Football. They are 1.5-point underdogs against the Vikings next week. Prior to Monday Night Football, obviously things can change depending on what happens maybe in that Packers game against the Saints. But as of right now, the Vikings are 1.5-point favorites going up against Green Bay in Minnesota next week. So interesting line there. All right, let's get to the Packers-Saints final injury report presented by Habish Habish and Rotier. Packers, Javon Bullard and Quay Walker are both out for this game, as pretty much expected. Questionable are Jair Alexander, Corey Ballantyne, Luke Musgrave, and Evan Williams. Now, we will get an upgrade on Luke Musgrave first. That'll be the first thing that we know on Monday, because in order for him to play, he will need to be activated from the injured reserve to the active roster. If that doesn't happen by end of business, which is usually 3 p.m. Central Time on Monday, he will not be able to play in the game. If they activate him, that's your indicator that he's going to be in all likelihood active and play. There's no reason they don't need to activate him yet. They have another week, so there would really be no reason to do that unless he's going to play in this game. So we should find out by close of business on Monday, which again, 3 p.m. Central Time, right around there, whether or not Luke Musgrave will in fact be active for this game. That'll be the first one. Everything else, we're going to have to wait for an hour and a half before kickoff to see who the inactives are for this particular game. The interesting thing here is Evan Williams, who was added to the injury report on Saturday as questionable. And what we have to kind of think about a little bit here is, what if, well, we know Javon Bullard's out, what if Jair and Evan Williams are out for this game as well? I would assume we would see Zane Anderson at safety, along with Xavier McKinney, Zane and Xavier, and then Keyshawn Nixon in the slot, and then Eric Stokes and Carrington Valentine as your outside corners. I would think that would probably be pretty self-explanatory, but that's going to be the one scenario where you really don't want. And I guess, you know, to some extent, this is just really an Evan Williams question, right? Because if Jair's out, or if Jair's in, it doesn't really change anything. You're not putting any of those guys at safety, right? So it's not like you have Javon Bullard then to push back to safety or something like that. He just really affects the corners. So it really comes down to Evan Williams. If there's no Evan Williams, we know there's no Javon Bullard. It's going to be Xavier McKinney and in all likelihood, Zane Anderson. It does leave a potential little bit of an interesting piece there from a depth standpoint, where you do have Ketanji Adapo, but then nothing really after that. Do you want to bring up another potential safety? Like, that will be a little bit more interesting. Hopefully Evan's just good to go and we don't have to worry about this in any way, but that could be a pretty slim secondary for Green Bay if in fact Evan Williams, Xavier McKinney, and Jair Alexander are all not able to go. So that's what I'm going to be looking for as we get to the inactives. But just to kind of recap, Javon Bullard and Quay Walker both out. Jair Alexander, Corey Ballantyne, Luke Musgrave, and Evan Williams, all questionable. And I guess I should say too, technically Corey Ballantyne's in that group also. Like, you could theoretically be pretty thin in the secondary. Another tell early in the day is if anyone gets called up from the practice squad, right? Like if Omar Brown at safety gets called up to the, you know, active roster, that's probably a tell that Evan Williams might not go in this game. Or if Kalen King or one of the other corners, you know, Kamal Haddon gets called up, that might be a tell that Ballantyne and or Jair may not go in this game. So some interesting tells that could happen early in the day, dependent upon who they call up from the practice squad, if anyone. And then again, if they activate Luke Musgrave off of IR. From the Saints standpoint, Derek Carr, Alvin Kamara, Bub Means, and Chris Olave are all out. And MVS is their only questionable player. So that is the only one to kind of keep an eye on from a will he or will he not play standpoint as we get to an actives an hour and a half before kickoff. All right, with that, let's get to our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game. I have a fun one. I'm going Edgerrin Cooper in this one. There's a reason for this. First of all, I think he can make a huge impact in this game. That should go without saying. But it's more than that. I said this whole past week, I think Edgerrin Cooper has the ability to be a star in this league and potentially even a superstar in this league. Edgerrin Cooper had an epic week last week. He was awesome. There's no questions asked about it. But what makes you a star in this league is doing that consistently, week after week after week of big time playmaking, of being that star every single time you go out and play. Now, I'm not saying Edgerrin Cooper needs to do that right now. He is still very young in his walk in this career. I'm not saying he needs to go out and put another interception, sack, 2 pass breakups, 7 tackles, 3 tackles for. I'm not saying he needs to do that again in this game. What I am saying is that if he can start doing that, if we do see another epic performance from Edgerrin Cooper, that is your tell, that is your sign that we are on the path to potential stardom to Edgerrin Cooper. We've seen a lot of players in Green Bay, even guys like Demaryius Randall, you know, that have had really unbelievable games. So a lot of players who have been through this organization that have had an unreal game. The true stars, the ones that are legit, that are for real, do it week after week and they show it consistently. Now, I'm not saying that Edgerrin Cooper is some sort of fool's gold or that he's the next Demaryius Randall. I'm not saying any of that, period, end of story. I am just saying this is an opportunity for us to see, again, this potential star in the making of, can you do it not every time, but you get my point. Can you do it over and over and over again? That's the sign of a true star. So for me, I am so excited to watch Edgerrin Cooper. And listen, the more likelihood is that there's probably a step back and like, this is not linear, right? It's going to go up and down for a little bit. He's a young player. Mistakes are going to be made, but maybe not. Maybe he just goes out and tears it up again. And that would be really, really fun. So my Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game, Edgerrin Cooper. Remember, if the Packers win this game, use the hashtag Luigi's Victory Monday on Twitter. Make sure to follow Luigi's Pizza, LuigiesPizza on Twitter as well. You'll be entered to win. All you have to do is follow and again, tweet out hashtag Luigi's Victory Monday. Even though it's going to be on a Tuesday, tweet it out anyway, Luigi's Victory Monday. And you will be entered to win a case of free frozen pizzas from Luigi's. The best freaking pizza. I absolutely love it. It is my victory pizza every single time, and it is amazing every single time. I'm telling you, I've told you before, I'll say it again, it's the sauce. I don't know what they do, but it's absolutely incredible. The ingredients are amazing, and it is worth your time to go and get your Luigi's Pizza and celebrate after the game, after a victory. Trust me, just absolutely trust me. All right, let's get to our keys to the game in this one. I have 10 keys that I want to go through for the Packers. Number one, it's a bit cliche. It's one that we talk about a decent amount. It's one that you could put in, probably copy and paste into every one of these, but just get out to a fast start. You have a Saints team that just was eliminated from the playoffs on Sunday. They officially were eliminated. They have nothing to play for. Yes, there's pride and their coach, you know, Coach Rizzi has done a great job of getting them motivated. They won 3 out of 5, almost was 4 out of 5. They've played really tight games. They brought Washington right to the brink onto the final 2-point play. Like they're not going to just give up, right? I'm not suggesting that. But if you go out and have a strong start and get out to that 14-3 lead or something like that, it's going to be easier for them to have visions of getting out of the cold and onto the bus. Back to New Orleans, closing out the season, 2 weeks left. Everything's going to change in New Orleans anyway. Give them that opportunity to start thinking about the offseason a little bit, to start thinking about getting back on the bus, back in the plane, back to New Orleans, and those sort of things. What you don't want is this game to be close going into halftime or into the third quarter, fourth quarter. What you don't want is New Orleans having the strong start, and all of a sudden you're down 14-3, and you're wondering what the heck just happened. And now the Saints are like, let's do this. Like, let's get a win in Lambeau. This is awesome. That's not what you want. Go out there, get off to that strong start. We saw a strong start against Miami, strong start against Seattle, strong start against San Francisco, and Green Bay won those games pretty darn easily. They have a brutal start against the Lions, punt, punt, turnover, immediately allow a touchdown on the opening drive on defense, and the Detroit Lions win that game easily. Now, there's a difference between the teams, right? Detroit, pretty darn good team. Seattle, okay. The rest, bad. And there's a difference there, but go out, get to that strong start, especially against a team like the Saints. Do not give them hope. Do Do not give them reason to try in the fourth quarter. Just want them getting the, you know, want them to want to get the heck out of Green Bay by the time that fourth quarter turns around. And if that can happen, then you should be on mostly cruise control in fourth quarter. And I would love to see, yeah, everyone's been asking, can we get a Malik Willis package? Your Malik Willis package is when you are up by 21 points with 8 minutes left in the third or in the fourth quarter. There's your Malik Willis package. That's the Malik Willis package that I want to see. Number two, we just kind of talked about it, the defensive backfield. Who's healthy, who's not? If Jair is healthy, or if he's playing in this game, this is a reintegration game for Jair Alexander. You want to kind of keep a close eye on him. How is he doing? How is he playing? Does he look okay? Can he stay healthy? Like, those are the things you're looking for. Eric Stokes, pretty nice week last week. All right, like, can that continue? Carrington Valentine, big pick last week. Can that continue? You're going to be a bit probably undermanned a little bit. Now, if Evan Williams and Jair play, then maybe not. Then you feel really great. Now, probably Corey Ballantyne plays, and maybe Javon Bullard is the only one that's not playing. So I think, A, who's healthy and ready to go in that game is going to make a big difference. But also, how does that secondary play? You have a rookie quarterback. You have a wide receiver core that's missing Chris Olave, that doesn't have a ton of studs. Bob Means is out. MVS is questionable. Can you make this where you're not allowing Spencer Rattler to get in any sort of rhythm? That to me is going to be important. I want to see how these guys play. And most importantly, again, if Jair is back, how kind of reintegrated can you get him back in the defense? Does he play every snap? Is he on a snap count? There's a lot of things I'm going to be focusing on from a defensive backfield standpoint. Do you know what makes the holiday season even better? You guessed it. Winning. And right now on Prize Picks, you can win up to 1,000 times your money. And Prize Picks is the absolute best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. Prize Picks also offers a variety of weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts. And it will come as no surprise to you at all to find out that my favorite weekly promotion is Taco Tuesday, when Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value for your lineups. Make your Prize Picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Blake Groupie, New Orleans kicker, because I think they're going to have to settle for a lot of field goal attempts against Green Bay's defense, and Josh Jacobs to run wild. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup by using code PACKADAY. Prize Picks, run your game. Number three, can the pass rush stay hot? Carmen Vitale brought up the great stat the other day that since the Packers bye week, they are number one in sacks, tied for number one in sacks, and they were 10th, I believe, in pass rush win rate is what she said. I want to see this defensive front continue to get after, in this case, Spencer Rattler. I think the Saints offensive line has some players, but I think the Packers defensive front can still win. This is a little bit more of a tell of, hey, is your line progressing in the right direction, or did you just get lucky playing the Seahawks' crappy offensive line? And I go back to last week and I watch the tape, and Seattle's offensive line, not good, but I saw a difference from that defensive line. They were a little bit more physical. Their hands were better. As Mike Wall said, they were using a few more moves. I really liked what I saw on tape from the defensive line. Now, can you stack success? Can you repeat it? Can you make it repeatable? Can you make it easily repeatable? That's what I want to see from this defensive front. Pressure, hopefully constant pressure, still winning up front. You know New Orleans is going to want to try to run the football with a rookie quarterback in there. Don't let him run the football. Get after him, meaning Spencer Rattler. And again, we talked about the Saints not getting the rhythm. Don't let a young rookie quarterback get his rhythm. That's another key one. So that pass rush, can it stay hot? Number four, I need to see some improvement from the run blocking. Early in this last couple games, we've seen pretty good run blocking. We've seen it early in the season where at times it looks really good, but there's too many times where Josh Jacobs has to make people miss in the backfield. And it's great that he's doing so, and he's turning some negative 3 yard gains into 1 or 2 yard gains. That's great. But I would really like it if those, when he's making people miss, it's 3, 4, 5 yards down the field instead of 3, 4, 5 yards in the backfield. It doesn't have the same, just ability to kind of get those huge runs when he has to make so many people miss behind his own line of scrimmage. Josh Jacobs is really freaking good. He's running the ball really well. Work for him. Give him those holes. Get him some opportunities to get to the second level. I haven't seen enough of that from this Packers offensive line as of late. And I've talked about, I don't think this is a physical mauling offensive line. That's okay. You can still block really well. Matt LaFleur is doing a great job of getting this offensive line in some advantageous positions. Now you got to go out and block things up front and make it easier for Josh Jacobs so he doesn't have to do the heavy lifting on his own. I would love for this run offense to get going so that they are at their peak come playoff time. I don't see that right now. I see a okay run game and a mostly good run game due to Josh Jacobs, but I don't see it next to or like being put on the offensive line right now. I want this offensive line to go out like they played against the Colts and Titans earlier this year when they had Malik Willis at quarterback and the other team knew they were going to run the football and it didn't matter because they could do it anyway. I want to see this line get back to that a little bit. That's going to be the next key in this one. Number five, along with that, you know, hopefully you get that run game going. Can you get the play action and bootleg game under center going a little bit more? The play action has been fine. The run game's been fine. But those two in tandem, I don't feel are where they could potentially be yet. I want to see that run game get going a little bit more. And I want to see some of those plays where you bootleg and there's a guy, you know, obviously like a three-level throw, deep intermediate short. Maybe it's just going to Kraft in the flat, or maybe there's an intermediate to Dobbs or Reed or whomever it might be, or there's a deep shot to Watson. I'd like to see a little bit more of that. I'd like to see a little bit more creativity in the play action game. There's things there that I think they can still do a lot better. And they don't have to unleash the hounds in this game. They don't have to tip their hands or show anything really unique or different. But I would like to see them get a little bit of that bootleg and play action game going. Just put it on tape a little bit, show that they're capable of it. Just another thing that defenses have to prepare for. Would like to see that kind of get going in this game. Number six, this is still the youngest team in the league. And now they're 14-point favorites. What I've been really impressed by, knock on wood, is that this young team has not had really seemingly that feeling of, oh, we're 14-point favorites. We got this. Like, we're just going to go out and win because we're supposed to win. This has been a team that has really worked in order to make sure that those sort of slip-ups don't happen. Whether it's a 14-point spread one way or the other for the Saints or for the Packers, you still have to go out and play that game, and you still have to go out and find a way to pick up a win. And what you also have to remember is no game is easy, and the Saints are probably going to be pretty disrespected that it's a 14-point spread, and they're going to want to go out and prove the world on Monday Night Football that they're nobody's 14-point underdog, that they're going to go out and they're going to win this game and prove to everyone that it was a stupid idea to think that they were that bad. So they're going to come out a little extra motivated. I just want to see Green Bay take care of business and manage the expectations of this game, manage the fact that they're huge favorites, and not let their foot off the gas. Not just feel like, yeah, we got this one. This one's easy. And it's easy to look ahead. And kind of that's the next one I have here at number seven is don't look ahead to Minnesota. Don't look ahead to the playoffs. Job's not done yet. I know that I just read off to you a 7-game scenario in which Green Bay would have to lose every one of those games in order for this not to go the way that you want it to. Let's take this little morsel by morsel, right? The Buccaneers beating the Panthers and the Saints is probably what's expected to happen. The Falcons beating the Panthers is probably what's expected to happen. The Packers losing to the Vikings, however you want to look at it, is probably what's expected to happen, which all of a sudden means that you're now down to 3 games. If the Packers were to let their foot off the gas in this one and lose to the Saints, now you're down to 2 games. Now, all of a sudden, if the Falcons beat the Commanders, which the Commanders will be the likely winners of that one, but they're coming off an emotional, tough game against the Eagles. If they have a little bit of a letdown next week and the Falcons take advantage of it, now you're down to 1. Now, if you lose to the Saints and everything kind of goes the way that we just talked about, now it all comes down to Packers-Bears in the final week. And that is not where you want to be. Now, do I expect it to get there? No. Do I expect the Packers just to win this game? Yes. But my point being is you let your foot off the gas for 1 second and all of a sudden you're fighting for your life in the final week. You never quite know. And you don't want it to play out in anyone else's hands. You don't want it to be some stupid call at the whatever, right? Like, just take care of business. So don't look ahead. Don't look to the Vikings a week from now. Don't look to the playoffs a few weeks from now. Go out and win and get in the playoffs right here, right now, so you have nothing else to worry about from a getting in or getting out standpoint, and take care of that business right here and right now. Number eight, can you evolve the defense in any way? We're seeing more disguises. We're seeing more creative blitzes. We're seeing better pass rush with 4 guys. We're seeing a lot of different variety. Jeff Hafley is becoming, I think, more in tune with his players on this team, how to utilize them. Guys are hopefully getting healthy. Maybe we again see Jaire Alexander back, Evan Williams, and we see a more complete defense. Now, can you evolve it? Can you even get better? Can you continue to get this to what right now is a top 10 defense? Turnovers, points, whatever way you want to look at it, it's been a top 10 defense. Can you now even make it better? Can you show up and maybe hold the Saints to 3, 6, 9 points, no touchdowns, something like that? And not even just a point production standpoint, are there more things, more tools that you can add to your players' tool belt to make them so they're even more dangerous come playoff time? That's what I want to see here as well, is this defense continue to evolve. Number 9, for the love of all things holy, stay healthy. It's always the game within the game. There's the game, and then what did it cost you? Hopefully they win the game. Hopefully it doesn't cost them anything. You want to see them continuing to stay healthy. There's nothing you can really do to kind of prevent that going into a game, but there's that too. There's nothing that I can say like, go do this and then you'll stay healthy. But man, stay healthy, because we don't need big injuries coming up just a couple weeks before the playoffs. And last but not least, same thing as last week, take care of business and get it to the playoffs. Go do your job. Pick up the win. We don't care what the spread is. We don't care what, you know, any of that. Just go find a way to take care of business, whether it's by 14, whether it's by 6. I don't care. Find a way to win. Get on to next week. Get in the playoffs. And we go to see a Vikings-Packers game a week from now. Now, those are my 10 that I'm talking about, my keys to the game in this one. What was not on that list, you may have noticed? The Saints. I didn't talk about the Saints at all. Not really a single thing. There's no, you have to stop this player on the Saints, or you have to contain this player, control this player. This game has nothing to do with the New Orleans Saints. Quite frankly, the Saints, there's nothing that they can do that, if these two teams are even remotely playing the same level of football, where the Saints are even in the Green Bay's neighborhood. Like, they're too banged up. They've got a rookie quarterback. They're on the road. They've got nothing to play for. They've already fired their coach. It's not a good football team. Alvin Kamara's out. Derek Carr is out. Like, Chris Olave's out. They're two totally different teams, two totally different franchises. One that's on the way to a rebuild, and they're going to have to try to, and they're in no man's land when it comes to salary cap and everything like that. And one team that's going on to the playoffs, hopefully trying to compete for a Super Bowl. This has nothing to do with the Saints. There's nobody that you need to contain. There's nobody that you need to stop. There's nobody that you need to be aware of. You just have to make sure that you are not giving them the opportunities. You're not turning the ball over a ton. You're not playing sloppy football. You're not showing up with your C-level, D-level game. Don't screw this up. And it has nothing to do with the Saints. If the Packers play a B to B-minus level of football, they should win by double digits. Don't play D, C, F-minus, whatever it is. Don't play that. Don't give into it. Don't have the self-inflicted wounds. Don't give the Saints hope. This has nothing to do with the Saints. Now, if I were coaching the team, this is not what I would be saying. And the Saints have some good players. I'm not saying like they don't. I'm not trying to disrespect the Saints in any major way. I'm just saying these are not two teams that are on the same wavelength. So get out of there without making the mistakes that you would need to make in order to lose this game. Go play your brand of football. This, to me, is not even, the Saints aren't even in my peripheral. This is about the Packers and what can they do in this game to continue to improve, to continue to get better, and continue to play their best brand of football. If the Packers lose this game, it will be because of themselves. Where I promise you tomorrow, if we're talking about a Saints win, we are not talking about, man, Packers played well, but man, Spencer Rattler and, you know, company just were unstoppable. Or that Saints defense just, you know, forced every turnover known to man. We're not going to be talking about this as the Saints went out and dominated. I promise you that if something goes wrong in this game, we would be talking about, man, Packers shot themselves in the foot by doing these billion different things. So to me, this is not about the Saints. It's about the Packers and playing their best version of football and not letting the Saints even sniff some opportunity in this game. My prediction for this one, Packers win big. It's a 14-point spread. I think they're even going to outdo that. 41-10 Green Bay Packers in this one. A huge win for Green Bay. A momentum builder on the way to Minnesota next week and then on their way to the playoffs in a few weeks here. I think this is going to be a fun one at Lambeau, Monday Night Football. Listen, if you're listening to this early and can still find a way to get to Lambeau, it's going to be cold. It's going to be beautiful. Monday Night Football at Lambeau, it is always special. Find a way to get there if you can. Should be a ton of fun. By the way, 41-10 Packers, but it'll be 10-10 at the end of the first quarter, and we'll still get our normal stream of fire LaFleur, Halfley's a fraud, Jordan Love's not the real deal. It's going to be 10-10. Everyone's going to be freaking out at the end of the first quarter. Like, what is this team doing? They're pretenders. They're frauds. And then they're going to go on a 31-0 streak to end the game. Win 41-10. Pre-game show today at 4:30 p.m. Central Time, live right here on the Packaday Podcast YouTube channel. Make sure to check that out. Huge thank you to Luigi's and Habish Habish and Rotier for partnering with us on today's episode. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Mo Sada Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boomhandle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Itaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Lovin' Football, Dylan Pat Scott, Bobby Santoro, and SoCal Pack. 41-10 Packers, book it in there right now. Enjoy your game day, everyone. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.